today, y'all. Anybody excited to hear what God's got in store for us today? Good, because if y'all wouldn't, I'd be happy to be the only one. I'm excited about it. Y'all, I have been gone, telling myself, I ain't been here in 4 weeks. I have missed y'all. We had a trip to Colorado, and we were gone for that weekend. And then when we came back, Gent's granddad, he got sick, and he was in the hospital. And so we was out with that. And then it was Father's Day, and we was at that. And then last weekend, we had a little mini vacation to the beach. And it just feels good to be back. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to be back in the house of God. I got the mail, Miss May. I promise, I got the mail today. But, no, I've missed you guys. You know, church ain't just a place where you come and hang out. I do believe it's a family, and I care about all y'all. And I know y'all have missed seeing me, and I have missed seeing y'all too. I try. But anyway, Miss May, you got me all messed up. I'm out here trying to go through my stuff, and I can't remember where I was at. But, no, Pastor Clint, thank you for allowing me to come and speak today. I'm honored to stand up here in this pulpit and get to talk. I know he don't just let anybody up here, so it blesses me to know that you think enough of me to let me get up here. If you're joining online today, we're happy to have you. I know ain't much to look at, but we're glad you're tuning in with us. No idea which camera to look at back there, but I wave at all of them. But y'all, you know, we just had 4th of July, and it's awesome that we have our independence from England. You know, that's great. That's wonderful. I hope everybody had a good time celebrating that. But, you know, we live in a world where the world tries to teach you to be independent. You know, Boosie made the song, I-N-D-E-P. I never knew he was spelling out independent until I listened to it when I was older. But anyways, we live in a culture where everything's about being independent, and the world says if it feels good, go for it. If it don't hurt nobody, go for it. Do what you want. Yo, you're not supposed to be independent from God. I will always be dependent on Jesus Christ. I don't want to move on. I don't want to leave him behind. I want to stay devoted. I want to stay where I need him. I never want to be in a situation, and I never think he'll put me in a situation where I don't need God. So, great to celebrate 4th of July. That's awesome. That's wonderful. But I don't want y'all to ever think that you need to be independent from God. We need to claim dependence on Jesus every single day. I will always be dependent on Jesus. But, you know, every time I go to speak, it never fails. Every single time I go to speak, the devil starts that old slideshow. And he reminds me of everything I've ever done, everything I've ever said. And this whole week, y'all, I say that the whole past 2 weeks. I was talking with Kelly about it the other day when we was working. I've just been feeling guilty. I've been feeling like, who am I to get up here and try to speak? How can I tell these people about Jesus Christ? You know, I can't do it under my own power. But praise God, I'm not up here under my own power. I'm here today by the power of Jesus Christ. I'm under the authority of Jesus Christ. And, yo, I believe something that is going to be said today is going to change somebody's life. I believe that God has laid something on my heart to share with y'all today that you cannot just hear it and leave and forget about it. I believe we're going to learn something today we can take through those doors with us, something that we can chew on come Monday morning when you ain't feeling like going to work, come Friday when you're waiting on the clock out, and you know how it is on Friday afternoons. You don't really do nothing to work no ways. I think you're going to chew on this all week long. But, anybody in here ever been in a fight before? Y'all don't get all churchy on me. Anybody ever been in a fight? Whether it been at a party or whether it was in a locker room. I mean, there have been fights everywhere, you know. Don't feel bad, because there's been fights at the beginning of the time, and I promise you, they're going to keep fighting till the end of time. Life is a fight. Y'all agree? Life is a fight. And it's not, you know, it's not always a physical fight. Sometimes it's emotional fight. Sometimes it's a verbal fight. Sometimes you have things come against you, and it's just like, where did this come from? I just got blindsided by it. Well, today, in Scripture, I want to go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Talk about my old buddy Jehoshaphat. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, and we're going to pray, and we're going to jump into it. But, you know, talking about fighting, and life is a fight. You're going to have fights on your hands. Today, I want to teach you how to fight. Now, I'm not finna get up here and give a UFC lesson and all that stuff. I don't even know that stuff. But I know if I were to get in a cage with a UFC fighter, if John Jones is on the other side of that ring, I'd tap out from the rip. I wouldn't even try to fight him. But if I had to step into the ring with a UFC fighter, I'd want to be prepared. I'd want to be equipped. I'd want to know how to fight. So today, that's what we're going to talk about when we read about Jehoshaphat here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, well, some of the Midianites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom. from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazan Tamar, in Jedi. Any Star Wars fans, we can call it Jedi for you. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek him, to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever? And give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. Father God, I thank you that today that I'm not just up here rambling, Father God, but Holy Spirit, I pray that every word I say be straight from you, Father. I pray that the things that you lay on my heart, let me present it clear, Father God. I pray that everybody's ears are open to hear you today. Father, I pray that their eyes are open to see you for who you are, Father God. And Jesus, most of all, I pray that our hearts are open to receive this word today, Father. Anoint my lips, Jesus. Let it be all from you, Holy Spirit. You're welcome in this place. Have your way in this place. And it's in your precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Yes and amen, as Mr. Mayo said. So here's, you got the tribe of Judah in this story. Well, they hadn't done nothing to these people. They haven't started this fight. Matter of fact, the three people that's attacking them, back when God gave them the promised land and they were going through and they were taking everything over, these three God didn't let them mess with. And now the three that they spared are now rising up to attack them. That's the three armies that's coming to fight. Well, like I say, they haven't done nothing. This fight is out of the blue. By the time they got word, says the army is so close, there's really nothing to do here. Have you ever had news come up like that? Just quick, out of the blue. News that shook you to your core. An attack that you weren't prepared for. You had no time to get ready for. It's just on you. You ain't got time to do anything. You know, situation like that, maybe everything was going fine. Everything is going good. All of a sudden you get news your parents are getting a divorce. I'm just talking about real life stuff that happens right now. You find out your parents getting divorced. Whoa, where'd that come from? Where'd this attack come from? So you go to a simple doctor's visit. They see something don't look right, send you somebody else. Next thing you know, they tell you you might have cancer. People don't prepare for that kind of stuff. That stuff just pops up. You know, me and Kelly was working the other day. He gets a phone call when his cousin's been in a wreck. And we're praying and believing for healing for that young man too, Kelly. You can't prepare for stuff like that. You won't always be ready and prepared to get hit with a blindside shot. You know, I was playing football. This was actually in middle school, and we were practicing kickoff returns. And the way we did it, I hated it. It made no sense. And we do kickoff right, and I was running across, and it was kind of like a walkthrough. Well, they snap the ball, they kick the ball, I take off to the right, and I'm just kind of loafing. I reckon it's my fault. Shouldn't be loafing on a football field. And a dude hit me from the side. It was Jonathan Mingledorf. He hit me from the side. I'm talking about roll me. And it wasn't good at all. I mean, that crap hurt. First thing hit the head was back. First thing hit the ground was my head. But you know, when you don't see something coming, you can get knocked off your feet. You get what I'm saying? When you don't see that punch coming, it can take you out. That attack can take you out. But there's some things in life you just ain't going to be prepared for. You're going to be surprised by. So my question is, when the attack comes, when the battle comes, how do you fight? What do you do? How do you go from there? You've received the news. You've received a verdict, whatever it is. Where do you go from here? And so that's what I want to talk about. Bring us to our first point today. What are you focused on? What are you looking at here? In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 10 through 12, it's Jehoshaphat praying. He says, but now hear men from Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession that you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. You ever been there? You ain't got no strength to fight. You ain't got nothing for this army that's coming against us. We do not know what to do. I feel like I spend 3/4 of my life in that area right there. What do I do now? That ain't supposed to happen. But look at this last part. But our eyes are where? on you. Who is you there, church? Watching God. They ain't looking at the problem. He's watching God. That says a bunch about Jehoshaphat, too. When the problem arises, you know, it says he was alarmed, but it also says he was resolved. As soon as it happened, he went straight to God about it. He called a nationwide fast for everybody there, and the whole church comes together and started praying. But like I said, we've all been there for that first part of not knowing what to do. But oftentimes as Christians, and I know I'm not the only one, we miss the second part, that I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on God. I got the first part down. I don't need help with that. I always don't know what to do. But now I got to keep my eyes on God. Jehoshaphat understood that this situation was way out of his control. He knew that there was no way in his power, whether he was king or not, there was no way that he could suit his guys up, have them ready, and win this war. It's beyond his control. If they try to fight, they lose. But instead of trying to take matters into his own hands, like I said, that had been chaos, he goes straight to God with his battle. I'll tell y'all a story about me and my beloved wife, G-Baby, over there. Back in, I don't remember exactly when, we was out of high school. And one of her friends from college, the girl had just recently broken up with her boyfriend, and she wanted to start going out to Gatta's. And anyway, that's just a little sports bar. And Gent was going with her, and, you know, I had gotten on fire for Christ, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I can be with somebody that wants to go to the bar. It's not like she was an alcoholic. It's not like she was going all the time. And I was like, this ain't jiving. You know, it's kind of, I ain't going to say oil and water, but I didn't like it. And every time we talk about it, it would always end up in an argument. Anybody been in that situation? Am I the only one that's ever been there? Thank God. One hand. Yeah. But anyways, sorry, Holy Spirit kind of got a hold of me there. But anyways, we got talking about it, and it always would end up in an argument. And I remember we was coming back from Statesboro one night, and I don't know why, but somehow we talked about it right before we left. And we get in the car, and I'm on the way home, or she's in her car, I'm on the way home. Anyways, I get home, and she pulls up in the yard. I'm like, this is strange. Well, the whole way home, I'm praying. I'm like, God, I can't do this. You know, I've been trying to focus on this problem. I've been trying to fix this thing myself. I said, I can't do this. I said, you know, either you got to change, you know, intervene in her life. Either you got to take away that want to for that lifestyle, because I can't be with this. Anyways, G-Babe pulls up. I'm kind of looking. I'm like, that's strange. She gets out and she walks over to me. I never even said a word. And she's like, you know, I feel like God just, I feel like he just did something. I don't really want to do that no more. That's a wedding band on my hand right now, y'all. If y'all didn't know it, we still together to this day. Hallelujah. But as long as I was trying to take matters into my own hands, as long as I was trying to stay fixed on this situation, we wouldn't get nowhere. That's the way it happens. You know, and King Jehoshaphat, for him to realize this, that he's almighty, he's all powerful, he's the king. But it don't matter if you're king or not. You can't do everything by yourself. And there comes a point when you got to quit looking at the problem and you got to give it to God. I tell you all that to tell you all this. As long as you keep focusing on that battle, you're going to seem hopeless. And hopeless is not a good situation to be in. Because the more you look at that battle, the more you think on that, the more you worry on that, the bigger it looks. And the bigger it looks, the smaller you look. You watch that thing grow. You watch it get bigger. You watch it get stronger. And the stronger it gets, the weaker you get. But then if you'll just fix that focus, the way Jehoshaphat did here, he didn't look at the problem. He went straight to the answer. He goes straight to God. And you realize that when you go to God, that he is so much bigger than the problem you're worried about. That he is so much stronger, they don't even compare to what you're looking at. Now, this brings me to my second point. Whose fight are you fighting? Are you fighting your fight? Are you fighting somebody else's fight? Are you trying to fight God's fight? That's three totally different things. There's some things you can control. There's some things that somebody else can control that you don't need to mess with. And there's some things that only God can fix. Y'all agree with me, church family? Y'all smell when I'm stepping in? Y'all roll with me now. But God just told the people of Judah, do not be afraid. I ain't even read the verse yet. Let's get into that. Chapter 20, verse 13 through 17. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehazel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, this is God talking through him. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord, and he will give you Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, and do not be discouraged. Go out, face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. This ain't even their fight. God just promised them, this ain't even your fight. You know, I was at a graduation party one night. I think it was after Gent's graduation. And a little scuffle broke out. And anyways, this boy was fighting, and his cousin thought it was his job to run in there and save the day. Lack of better terms, his cousin got put to sleep. It was not his fight to be fighting. He should have just stuck to himself and not jumped in that fight. He don't jump in there, it don't never happen. I know this is church. He talking about people getting knocked out. He didn't get knocked out, he got choked out. I'm just clarifying that right there. But you got to fight your fight. You can't be jumping in there and fighting somebody else's fight. Well, here's Jehoshaphat. They've just been told that this battle ain't even yours. You ain't even got to do nothing here. You know, and anybody here been married longer than 5 minutes? I can go that far. If you've been married longer than a day, you realize there's some things just ain't worth fighting about. You know, anybody funny about toilet paper rolls? It don't matter if it's on top or bottom. It all goes to the same place. You know what I mean? It don't matter about that. You know, it don't matter if you get your clothes out the dryer and you fold them up nice and neat. If you put them away, if you stack them on top of your dresser, it don't matter. That's not worth fighting about. You know, pick your battles. There's so many little things that we spend so much time on that we spend fighting with each other about. Some of my gents' biggest fights, when it's over, you look back, and it was the smallest little thing. Can I get an amen, somebody? And you're like, why in the world would we waste so much time and fight about this? Social media. I feel like Christians, they feel the need to defend God's honor on everything. And somebody will post something they don't agree with, and they want to argue them down and fuss and fight with them. You fussing and fighting with somebody in wherever, Connecticut, California, that ain't going to save nothing. That ain't going to fix nothing. You know what I mean? And you look like a fool on there because you go from wanting to praise Jesus to wanting to fight somebody, cuss them out on there. But you got to pick your battles. Every battle that comes up isn't always yours. So that the question is, how do you know the battles you should fight or that you should give to God? I tell you this, if it's bigger than you, give it to God. If it's bigger than you, give it to God. If there's simple stuff, you know, like the toilet paper roll, just little stuff in the house, that's on you. You can fix that. Side note, this is free of charge. If you do something stupid and get in a mess, don't think just because you made that mess that God's going to leave you in that mess. You get what I'm saying? You can royally screw it up, but God's not just going to leave you hanging. He's faithful even when you're not faithful. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And he can take any situation, flip it around, and make beauty out of it. I'm living proof of that. But that's free of charge. But like I say, the fights and the battle, you got to pick what battle. You know, our football coach, he used to tell us, if you can't control yourself, there's no way you can control your opponent. Well, bottom line is, you can never control somebody else. If you're trying to control somebody else, you're fighting their own fight. That's not the right battle. You can't worry about what somebody else is doing. All you can worry about is the way how you handle situations, how you handle everything. It's about what we do. You know, here in Jehoshaphat, this situation in the tribe of Judah is so much bigger than him. And he realized this ain't his fight. There's nothing he can do here. So he goes to God. And the whole nation began to pray and fast. In verse 17, I'll jump back and read it again. Verse 17, it says, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. Stand firm and see. How are you fighting if you're just standing firm and seeing? How do you fight if you're just watching? Well, when the battle ain't yours, you ain't got to fight. The tribe of Judah, they still had to go and face the attack. They still had to go to where the battle was at. But it wasn't theirs to fight. Do you know how hard that is? To stand there and look at what's coming against you. That attack, that battle that's been tempting you, been coming against you. For you to just stand there and look it dead in the eye and not do anything to it. But just have the faith to believe that it's God's battle and that God's going to fix it. In football camp, going into my sophomore year, we always got partnered up with like the weirdest guys. And I'm not trying to be mean. They were just weird. You know what I'm saying? You got another offensive lineman there. They were just weird. Well, I remember I was coming out of my room and I heard something hitting the wall. I'm like, what is that? And I just hear this noise. I'm just standing there looking, and this big old homegrown honky, he come around the corner, and he's standing there holding a broom. And I'm just looking at him. I'm like, I don't know what you plan on doing with that broom, but I hope it ain't hit me. And I'm just looking at him. And I don't remember what he said to me, but I mean, I stood there with my back against the wall. I was scared to death. I'm not as tough as I look. I did not want to fight that guy. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, God Almighty, give me the strength to knock this man out or let him leave or something. Anyways, he said something. He just walked off. And I'm like, thank God. But I'm sitting here thinking about this morning. I'm like, thank God that wasn't my fight. Thank God that he deterred that man's direction. Deterred. I get caught up sometimes and I can't even talk, yo. But you know, like Lauren was talking about this morning, to totally surrender. The fight ain't yours. To just stand there and look something in the eye and say, God, I got the faith where I can stand here and face this, but I ain't got to fight it because I believe that you're going to fight it, God. Yo, that's hard. That's tough. To look it dead in its eye and say, God, I trust you. I trust this situation, God, that it's in your hands. You're all powerful. You're almighty. You have this under control. And I'm just going to sit here and watch it. I'm going to get a front row seat, and I'm going to sit here and watch you just be God. Yo, we try to be God too much. We try to fix things in our own power. You got to sit back sometimes, just let God be God. Plain and simple, just let God be God. But I'd rather have the faith to stand there and face something than to fight it. That brings us to our third point. There's power. Power. Wonder-working power. In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. That's not my third point, but I just want to tell you that. There's power in your praise. Verses 18 through 21. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." They were just told the good news. This ain't your fight. You ain't got to worry about it. I'm taking care of it. You're going to win this thing. I just need you to go there. I need you to stand on the front lines. I need you to sit back and watch me be God. And the first thing they did, said he bows down and starts praying. People start standing up. People start singing. They're giving God the praise and worship. Y'all, so many times, I know in my life, when something comes up, and even when God answers it, my first response isn't always giving God thanks and always giving God praise. Sometimes just a sigh of relief. I want to get to a point where as soon as something happens, good or bad, the first thing I say is, thank you, God. Whether it be in a song, whether it be just simply saying it. I want to get to a point where everything that comes my way, I was praying this morning, me and Jen on the way over here, God, thank you for the good times. God, thank you for the bad times. If it takes the bad times to get me closer to you, I thank you for them, Jesus. If it's going to make me and you closer, bring it on. You know, bring on the rain. That's a Christian song. I think Mercy me, somebody. But watch what happens in verse 22 when people start praising God. When people start shouting and start hollering and get excited about God. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. Y'all, these are the same people that come in there to fight the tribe of Judah. What are they doing now? They fighting each other. I like it. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering, I love how graphic the Bible is. This wasn't just a mercy killing, it was a slaughtering. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Man, what a powerful God we serve. Everybody's like, oh, you know, God's full of love. Yeah, he is. He's also full of justice. You don't come at God's children. And y'all, three armies rose up to fight. We face three armies every day. The world, our flesh, and the devil. And they want nothing more but to take you out. We have a real enemy that wants to take you out. And the same way God protects his children, I don't know if y'all have checked or not, but we are also God's children. We are clothed in the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I'm sitting here looking in Scripture, and Scripture tells me that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he'll do it back then, I believe he'll do it right now. But there comes a point, what are you going to do? When that fight comes, when that battle comes, are you going to just sit back and poor me, pity me? Or are you going to take the fight to it? Are you going to stand on the front line and say, God, I trust you. God, this is out of my control, but I'm going to give you praise through it. Come hell or high water, I'm going to praise you with everything I got, God. And look what happens when you give God praise. The people that were wanting to fight them, the people that were wanting to take them out, were fighting each other. I just see all these devils coming at you, trying to take you out, and you just start singing the praise of God. And all of a sudden, they're turning, fighting. It's like a big brawl. They don't know who they're fighting. They're just taking each other out. And you just sitting back, God, I love you. I see how good you are, God. You're delivering me from that, God. So today, I've titled this message, This is How I Fight. Everything we've talked about has all led up to this. This is how we fight. We sang that song, Raise a Hallelujah, today. Did y'all enjoy that? Worship team, awesome job, by the way. Y'all give it up for the worship team real quick. That's how we fight. I fight the attacks coming against me with my praise. Yo, God has given you every single thing you need right now to fight, whether you know it or not. Everything you need to fight against the devil, you have been given right now. And you're probably just sitting on it, don't even know it. You got it right here in your ammo box. All the ammunition you need to fight. And you just sitting there looking lost. Sitting there just going through the motions. Sitting there just feeling sorry for yourself. Yo, we're not called to just sit and be sorry. We've been given everything we need to fight. God's going to do his part, but we need to do our part. As long as there's breath in your lungs, there's fight in your life. There's a hallelujah on your heart that only you can lift up. I remember during the worship welcome a while back, I was talking about that. Your hallelujah is what God's done for you. Your testimony, what he's delivered you from. You know, that testimony of you, it might be, God, you delivered me from alcohol. God, you restored my marriage. There's so many different things. That's your hallelujah. You need to lift that up. You know, in the beginning of this chapter, Jehoshaphat, he's praying and he's reminding God of all this stuff. He says, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. No one can withstand you. Our God, this is where he starts reminding God. Did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They've lived in it, building a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether a sword of judgment, plague or famine, we'll stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. He's reminding God of all this stuff, not because God forgot. He's not reminding God of all this so that God will say, you know, I actually forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me, Jehoshaphat. No, he's reminding him because Jehoshaphat needed to be reminded. There's days in my life where I'm like, you know, kind of, why am I doing this? Where am I going? But if you just take a second and look back at what God's done brought you out of, he's done split the seas. You done walked through on the other side, and there's so many things that you forget about as the years go by that he's done delivered you from. And he's not going to start to do it back then and then leave you hanging up here. Come on, somebody. That's good stuff. Sometimes you got to look back and say, God, you've been so good to me. We don't deserve it. I was sitting there thinking and praising worship today. I was pretty much singing Reckless Love every word because we don't deserve the love of God. We don't deserve his deliverance. We don't deserve his forgiveness. But he has freely given it to us. He has freely poured that out for us. When he went to the cross, everything you've ever done has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. When he went to the tomb, when he arose after 3 days, everything that you've ever done was left in that tomb. Past, present, future. You are covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. So when your battle comes, praise God. If you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. Plain and simple. The darkness trembles at the name of Jesus. If you don't know nothing else, you know that. You ain't got to be able to sing Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Sing it. Sing tremble. The demons is cowering right there. Just say Jesus. When fear comes against you, praise God. When disbelief rises up, praise God. When doubt comes against you, praise God. So what does that look like? How do you praise in the middle of a storm? Pastor Clint, y'all can come on up. How do you praise in the middle of the storm? When things ain't turning out the way you want it to, when things you've been praying and believing for ain't rolling out like you want it to, how do you keep giving God praise during that time? I believe you just praise. You just keep giving God praise. That's what I've done in my life. When Ginger's granddad was in the hospital, I remember the whole way up there to Augusta, all I could do was sing praise the hallelujah, raise the hallelujah. And the whole way we just prayed and we give God thanks for how good he was. And anyways, as the days went on, Mr. Johnny didn't make it. But that don't change how good God is. Because Mr. Johnny's prayer was always, God, give me a few more good years. That's all he wants, a few more good years. And if they can't be good, take me home. He was sitting in the hospital bed, and Nana, Ginger's grandma, she was so worried. And was he going to hurt? Was he going to suffer? And he never lost his spirit. He was cutting up, laughing the whole time. Every time you walk in there, pray for me. Pray for me. We was all praying, thank you. We was all praying for him. We was believing for healing. We was believing for a miracle. And I said, Papa, I said, healing's coming. Whether it's this side or the next, I believe healing's coming, and I ain't giving up believing. And until he took his last breath, I was still believing for healing. But you know what? He got it. And I'm still giving God praise for that. Just because it don't work out how I want it to, don't mean that God ain't good. Don't mean that God ain't faithful. Because he answered every prayer that Papa had prayed that day when he said, if I can't have him good, take me home. So everything that you do, give God praise. I think that looks like what I said earlier. You say, God, I thank you for delivering me out of my old lifestyle. I thank you for restoring my parents' marriage. I thank you for delivering me from alcohol. I thank you for delivering me from pornography. I thank you for being step for step and never leaving me. You're great, God. You're so good to me. There ain't no one like you. It ain't got to be complicated. It ain't got to be difficult to understand. It's just you talking to God. You ain't got to get churchy, holier than thou. It's just a conversation with you and God. There's no one like God, y'all. I thank you that you're my shepherd, that I shall not want, that I lack nothing. I thank you that you let me lay down in green pastures, that I rest beside quiet waters. And I thank you, God, for refreshing my soul. Keep me on the right path, God. I thank you that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. God, I thank you that you prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And we're going to sit down and feast, y'all. I'm here to tell y'all today we're going to sit down and feast. God, I stand on your promise that my head is anointed with oil and my cup overflows. And surely your goodness and mercy and love will follow me for all my days. And I will rest in the house of the Lord. It ain't got to be complicated, y'all. I'm just reading a psalm right there in the Cam Wiggins translation. That's all it is. It ain't got to be complicated. You ain't got to make it hard. Just give God praise. You know, it keeps on going in 2 Chronicles, and they go through, and after the battle's over, it took them 3 days to get all the treasure, 3 days to get all the plunder up from the fight. So not only did God deliver them, but he blessed them with more than they could tote. It took them 3 days to pick up. But, like I say, through it all, we're going to give God's praise. We're going to stand on God's promises. We're going to worship. Why? Because worship is a weapon. Let me say it one more time if y'all didn't hear me. Worship is a weapon. This is how you fight right here with your worship. You're going to raise a hallelujah. Everything you go through, raise a hallelujah. You know, in Acts chapter 16, you have Paul and Silas, and they're in this town, and there's this woman that's following them around, and she has a demon in her, and she can tell the future. She's a psychic. Or they're walking around, and the woman keeps on, and Paul finally stops, and he delivers the demon out of her right there. Well, the people get mad because they were pimping her out. They were making money off of that. So they get mad and have Paul and Silas locked up. Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 16 that they were sitting in the jail cell, and around midnight that night, not only any jail cell, they were in the inner cell. This is like maximum security of the Bible days. They're in maximum security sitting in the jail, and around midnight, everything got quiet, and all of a sudden, you hear some singing. And Paul and Silas ain't just in there, oh, poor pitiful me. They're in there, said they're singing hymns. They're giving God praise. And all of a sudden, the ground starts to shake. And all of a sudden, the doors to the jail cells bust open and the chains fall off. And the prison guard, he sees what happens, and he wants to kill himself. And they stop him and say, no, don't do that. And they end up going back with the prison guard, and his whole family gets saved. Y'all, there is power in your praise. This is your weapon. Worship is your weapon. Y'all, Praise breaks chains. Plain and simple. Your praise breaks chains. And I know we're all in different walks of life. We're in different stages of life right now. But I believe we're all facing something. We're all battling something. And everybody just stand up on your feet with me right now. Stand up on your feet. We're finna have a special time of worship, y'all. I'm not up here just talking about it. I believe it with all my heart. And we're finna start raising hallelujahs. And y'all, I'm praying and I'm believing. And I want you to expect to see God move. I want you to expect to see that the chains that are holding you back break in the name of Jesus when you lift that name up. If you're going through something, shoot a hand up at me right now. I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father God, I thank you for today. Father God, I thank you for the power that's in your name, Jesus. Devil, you have no place here. You have no place over these people's lives. Father, I thank you for the wonder-working, the miracle-working power that's in that blood of Jesus that we apply to the situation right now. Father God, I cover them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Father God. For whatever the situation that may be coming against them, whatever battle may be coming, Father God, I stand in faith today. And I stand and I look at dead in its eye, God, and I'm sitting back and I'm watching you be you. God, I'm watching you do what you do, what only you can do, Father God. And I just thank you for the miracle that's coming, Father God. I'm going to praise you until the breakthrough comes, Father God. And once it happens, I'm going to continue to praise you, Father God. You get all the glory, Jesus. You have all the power, Jesus, all the authority, Jesus. Chains have to break by the power of your name. Sickness has to go by the power of your name, Father God. And we apply that name. Jesus, Jesus, you are welcome in this place. Father, I pray for minds that have been full of disbelief, that have been full of doubt. Father God, I thank you for peace that's entering into that mind right now, Father God. I thank you for sick bodies, that sickness is cast out in the name of Jesus right now, Father God. And I thank you for healing is coming into those bodies right now, Father God. I thank you that it's manifesting deep in our soul right now, Father God. Blinders that have been put on our eyes where we couldn't see you for who you are, Jesus, I cast them down in the name of Jesus, Father God. I said ambushes the same way you said ambushes, God. And I pray that anxiety, depression, all that has to go in the name of Jesus, Father God. In Jesus' precious name. Father God, we worship you. Father God, we give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.